Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. I'd be lying if I said I didn't love her. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm mad at the way she loved me, and I'm mad at the time we spent. I'm mad about our conversation. Damn, I'm mad about everything. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'm still.
Birthday, and we still kind of in celebration mode, you guys, so I am in a good mood. Tonight we're going to be joined by two newcomers, Ms. Jay West, and we're going to talk about her two books, The Cheating Guy from a Woman's Point of View and Be That Bitch, Being in Control of Herself. And we're also going to talk to Mr. Derek Jordan about his novel, A Small World. We're going to get started with them in a moment. I do want to give you guys a quick reminder about the Baltimore Urban Music Fest. Baltimore Urban Book Fest. It will be going on next month, May 6th weekend. So if you guys want any information about that, just go to BaltimoreUrbanBookFest.com to get more information about that. I believe all the author tables are full, but if you are a reader and you want to come out and support and see some of the authors that's going to be out there set up that day, just go to their website to get more information. And also, I do want to remind everybody that Tamika Newhouse, the founder of AAMBC, just currently released her book, Kisses Don't Lie. So if you guys haven't got a copy of that, make sure you guys go ahead and check that book out. It is on Kindle, on all e-readers. And myself, Anna Black, just released my fifth book, Who Do I Run To Now? It's a sequel to Who Do I Run To? So guys, go ahead and try that book also. It's also on Amazon and on all e-readers. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with the show and bring on our guests. I'm going to go ahead and introduce them both, let them both say hello, and then we'll get started real quick with Ms. Jay West. So Jay and Derek, can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
All righty. And how are you doing tonight, Ms. Jay West?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am absolutely great. How are you doing, Mr. Derek Jordan?
I'm great. I have absolutely no complaints.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm glad everybody's doing well tonight. I had a death in my family this week, so I kind of started off this week a little on the wrong foot. You know, tragedy happens. We can't avoid that. But it's just a huge blessing that my one and only child, my only daughter, had a birthday yesterday and turned 14. So that got my spirits back up because, you know, sometimes God take away, but we still blessed to have our loved ones in our life. So I have to rejoice. So I'm trying to stay focused, you guys, and keep a smile on my face. But I do want to just say that my younger cousin, Tanisha Fuller, she passed away on Monday, April 9th, at the age of 35. I want to exit you all, send up your prayers to me and my family, because it was difficult, because we don't have deaths in our family too often, you know, so it kind of hit us hard. So I do want to say farewell to my cousin, Tanisha, and you will be missed.
Nice.
We're going to go ahead and get started with Ms. Jay West. Ms. Jay, quickly give us a little background about yourself and where you're from and things like that before we get into the pages of your novels. Just give us a little background about Jay West before the author.
Okay, I am, as you said, Jay West. But first, I would like to give a happy birthday to your daughter. And since you didn't give her name, I'll just say daughter.
Tyra. No, my baby is Tyra.
What is her name?
Tyra.
Tyra. Happy birthday, Tyra. Wishing you many more, girl. And my condolences,
thank
of course, go out to your family. Definitely my condolences. I am a mother of three, single mother of three. I've been writing since, like, all my life, but seriously and as far as being focused on writing, since, like, 2005. My first book was released in 2007. I just released the second one in 2011. I've experienced a lot, and both of my books are nonfiction. And I want to get the information out because I feel like it'll help a lot of people. It's not things that I've made up. I interviewed hundreds of people, and I have their stories as they relate to each chapter, and I also share my personal stories in each book. So that's I live in Miami, Florida, born and raised. Just graduated from college, St. Thomas University. It took 25 years to go back, but it is never too late. So that's what I just completed, and I'm proud about that. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm 5'7", you know, 155, you know, dark skin, chocolate, you know, all that.
Hey!
I'm a chocolate sister, but it's all good. It's all good.
That's wonderful. And congratulations on graduating, because everybody can say that. So congratulations on that. And you're right, it is definitely never too late. Never too late. Before we get started, because I see that your books came out fairly close. So, and I do see that the cheating guy came out actually before Be That Bitch. Now, I want to know, first of all, before we get started talking about these books and what's between the pages, how did you come up with those titles?
Well, the cheating guy is just that. It focuses on cheating. And if you be honest and you think about it, women implement the game so much better than men. After being in a committed relationship and realizing that I was the only one committed, and I subsequently became a cheater and realizing I was so much better at it, I started to write a book about how I cheated, how I got away with it, how to do it, and basically not get caught. The cheating guide is basically a cheating guide for men with an insatiable appetite and one who wants to indulge with more than one woman, how to maneuver in that and come out as amicable as you can within, you know, doing dealing with two women. The cheating guide is a grim, humorous look of the cheating game. And
So you're giving people pointers on how to get away with cheating.
I'm giving them the guide. I'm not condoning it. I'm not promoting it. But it was part
okay.
of my reality, and I'm sure it's part of many women's reality. Because, like I said,
mm-hmm.
I interviewed hundreds of women, and their stories, I mean, were mirrored mine so closely, Anna, I had to say, well, what's his name? Just to make sure it wasn't the guy that I was dating. Because they were playing the
right.
same old game, telling the same old lies, and doing the same old thing. And it's like, it's enough already. So I highlight
right.
the mistakes they made and how to correct them and to focus on your woman, because the focal point of the book is your woman or your wife takes precedent or is the priority over everybody. And knowing how
right.
how to set the rules and the tones of engagement to the other women.
Now, when you sat down to actually write this cheater's guide, was your mission to write this book as a help to, I guess, stop cheating or to give people some tools to catch their lover? Or is it based in a like a romance base, or is it a manuscript, or is it a self-help? How is the book actually laid out?
The book is a self-help book, and it started off as a form of catharsis for me because I was too embarrassed to tell my friends, my relatives, my coworkers that I was being cheated on, because I walked with pride. I put on a good front. I created a facade that people kind of look up to me. So I couldn't talk about it. So instead of talking about it, you know, any psychologist or psychiatrist tell you if you're having a situation that's difficult to talk about, to write it down. So I wrote about my experiences. I wrote them down. One page became a chapter. One chapter became two. Two became three and so forth and so on. And now we have the cheating guide from a woman's point of view.
Wow. So with this first book, The Cheating Guide, what type of feedback have you been getting from your readers? Are you getting, when I ask for feedback, I always want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do you have someone out there like, oh my God, this is great? And also, do you have someone out there saying, oh, like, why did you write this book? You know, we get from both ends. So what has been your experience from both sides, the negative and the positive?
Okay, from women, they're saying, why are you telling our business? Because, again, the cheating guy from a woman's point of view. So I'm telling the ways, the reasons, and how women cheat. So the women are saying, why are you telling my business? Why are you letting me know? They don't need to know. And then the men are saying, wow, thanks for letting us know. You're going to tighten us up on our game. So that's the consensus of what I've been getting.
So the women are frowning because you busting us out. But the men are celebrating because now they know what to look for.
Exactly. But the women, they're frowning, but they're saying, well, at least they know, and maybe they can do it a little bit better. But they're also agreeing because they know what I've written is the truth.
Right, and I am checking out some of your reviews. You are you do have a couple of reviews on it. It has been great reviews, you guys. So definitely check this book out. It is on Amazon and it is on Kindle. No. Is it on Kindle?
It's on Kindle.
Yes, it is on Kindle.
Yes, of course. It's on Amazon. It's available on Kindle, and it's also available through my website, MissJWest.com.
Okay. So what's your second release, your next novel, Be That Bitch?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. Come on now. Be That Bitch. That is such a strong title. I mean,
right.
like, break that down for us so we can know why you kind of say, okay, this is what I want to title my book.
Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of shocking, Anna, and I wanted the title to be just that shocking. I wanted to have that shock effect so it can get your attention. The
right.
title of the book, the message is twofold. One is very personal to me. I was in an abusive relationship for many years. My self-esteem was at an all-time low. I allowed this man to take everything out of me, take my motivation, my drive, my self-esteem, my self-confidence, my self-worth. In that relationship, I was called a bitch so many times, I thought that was my name. I thought that was the name my mother had given me. It had to be. After all, this
right.
is the man I've committed to. This is the man that I love. And he's calling me a bitch. Hey, that must be what I am. So when he
right.
called me the word bitch, I would cower, because that would break me down, because it was so hurtful to me. I couldn't believe that a man that I said that I loved, and he said that he confessed his love to me, is calling me such an awful word. So let me tell you something, Anna, how I turned the tables on him. When I started to walk in it, when I started to claim it, when I started to own it and say, okay, I'll be that, but I'll be that bitch, but I'm not going to be your bitch. You understand? Mm. I'm going to be the bitch that I'm being created to be, and it won't be yours. So I ended those ties. I severed the relationship. It was done, and enough was enough. All right. Now, for women, for other women who may not, who haven't had that experience, a man has not been in an abusive relationship, or men have never been called a bitch. I can't believe that no woman have ever been called, because you got to understand that the word bitch is also associated with a woman who has a swagger, a woman who's confident, a woman who's independent, a woman who's making her own money. You understand? I'm sure Oprah's been called a bitch. I'm sure Michelle Obama has been called a bitch. I'm sure any strong woman, no matter what your background is, no matter what your makeup is, you've been called a bitch if you're holding your own. So I'm saying, ladies,
and some girlfriends use bitch as a term of endearment. Some girlfriends call each other bitch. You know, that's just the way they relate to one another. Not all girlfriends.
Exactly.
Some girlfriends do do that. So I understand what you mean. Almost every woman on the planet that's an adult woman, of course, has been called that word, whether it be in a negative way or a positive way or as a compliment.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You understand. That's exactly what I mean. And the Bible says all things work together for your good. So what the negative, that means the negative, that means the hurtful, that means the painful. Not all the things that make you smile and make your toes curl up and your eyes roll in the back of your head. That means all things.
Exactly, exactly.
Things. Yes.
So is this book also set up in a self-help design, or is it a full-length novel? Give us something from the inside of the book, because when you have a self-help novel, it's harder, or not harder, I take that word back. It's a little different to explain, because when you have someone that has a novel, they give you the synopsis, they give you the kind of the outline of what the book is about. But when it's a self-help book, it's more so an advice and from another person's point of view or experience. So give us a little, just if you wanted to go to, say, a certain chapter or a certain point in the book where you wanted to elaborate on, what would you want to elaborate on with our listeners to let them know kind of what's on the inside of the pages of this book?
Absolutely, Anna. Well, this is definitely a self-help book. I'm trying to help my women, my ladies, reclaim our power. Talk about or focus on what you want, because it's often said that women don't know what we want. I absolutely disagree with that. We know what we want, but we're afraid to ask for it because we know oftentimes the man can't live up to it. So one of the chapters I'm talking about in Be That Bitch is Credit Check. That talks about when you're dating a man, you think, you know, you see the world in rose-colored glasses. I'm saying to be cognizant of your man's credit standing, because believe, when you become one, all things become one. And his credit standing will ultimately affect your living arrangement, your menu, your traveling, I mean, how you live. Your credit standing affects everything. You know, a good credit score means a lot. So I tell women in that particular chapter, be mindful of the man that you're falling in love with. Be mindful of his credit check, because oftentimes what happens is we get married, you know, engage in a relationship with him, become committed, marry him, and then after, it's hindsight. It's like, okay, now what's your credit? Okay, we're trying to buy this house. We can't qualify for this house. And why is that? Because his credit is awful. His credit is in the negative. And that, at that point, it's too late. And eventually, guess what? That's going to cause a problem in the marriage, and it will cause the demise of the union. And that's unfortunate, because you should have talked about this before. Certain things you should talk about before the vow.
And I do want to comment on that also. One thing about people, you have to understand with relationships, and this is just, and I'm not going to say it's true for everybody, but for me, in my experience, one thing about relationships, when you're new in love, when the love is new and everybody's smiling and hee-heeing, stuff doesn't even bother you as much.
Yeah.
So you might meet a brother with bad credit, and he's wooing you and making you feel good. But 3 or 4 years down the line, when that little honeymoon period is over, that might bother you.
Exactly.
Because things don't bother you as much when you're in that honeymoon phase. But when you get to reality and today, and you ain't, like, needing to talk to him 10 times a day, some things get amplified, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on. This nigga will always have bad credit. Yeah, he did.
Exactly. Exactly. So you must be mindful of that. But now, Anna, by the same token, if you have a guy, you know his credit is bad, and you decide to go ahead and pursue the relationship and carry it through, then understand you're making that sacrifice. You're making that sacrifice to say, okay, my living standards are going to be lowered, my traveling arrangements are going to be lowered, my, you know, the car I drive is going to be lowered, everything is going to be lowered, and at that point you're settling. And in BTB, be that bitch, I'm telling women, do not settle, because you don't have to. You don't have to.
Right. No, yeah. No person should, whether it be woman or man. No person should, men and women across the board. It's okay to set standards for your mate. And keep in mind, though, be realistic. You know, women, that's one thing. I'm a romance writer, and I write, I told a reader once before, because they made a comment that that they didn't know anybody like my main character, which is my book, Who Do I Run To? Had a young lady, Janice, torn between two lovers. One of her lovers just happened to be married. And just, you know, a love triangle, just some real stuff. And I had a person leave me a comment saying that she doesn't know anybody like Janice, and she would never be friends with anyone like Janice, and she don't know. She's like, she just was so pathetic. And my response to her was like, just because you don't know any Janices, or you wouldn't, I guess, associate yourself with any Janices, they exist. That's why I wrote about her. And I had to point out to her that I write realistic romance. I don't write fantasy romance.
Right.
No. I don't have a hair blowing the wind type romance. So when I write romance, so it's, they'll try to give you realistic scenarios. So when you have books like Be That Bitch or The Cheating Guy, these are realistic scenarios, people. We're not sugarcoating anything. We're getting straight to the point, telling you how it is, because you might not like it, but it exists. So when you have a person like Jay West is bold enough to say it, hey, I respect that. I definitely do respect that.
Well, thank you. Hello. But, Anna, that's so funny, because that situation mirrors one that I had when a female told me she never had a friend that experienced these things. And I just basically said, keep living.
Mm-hmm.
Keep living.
You're going to come across her one day.
Yeah.
Or it might be yourself.
It might never be, say you never. Might be looking at the woman in the mirror.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Now, Jay, when you decide to put your books in print, when you said to yourself, like, you know what, I have this manuscript, I have this guy, and I want to get it out there and share it with others, what route did you take to publish? Were you looking to publish through a major publishing house? Were you looking into going Indigo, print on demand? What was your actual mission when you decided to publish? What route did you take and why?
Well, the first book, I went with a larger publishing company. It was a bad experience. I wasn't pleased with the outcome. I didn't appreciate the contractual ties in that relationship. That was in 2007. It was a very bad experience for me. So I had to step away from the literary industry, and at that point I started to focus on how they do it, what they do when they're publishing a book, how to, you know, editing. I mean, I focused on the details, you know, the behind-the-scenes details of getting a book put out. So it took me like 3 years really to learn the details and the intricate part of the publishing aspect of a book. And once I did that, I waited until 2011, I re-released The Cheating Guy, and then at that point, BTB was available. So at that point, I decided to go independent because I knew how to do it, and I did so independent. So both of these books are independently published right now.
Okay. And what would be your advice to, say, a listener out there who is interested in becoming a published author? What would be your advice to them through your experience? Because some people are not cut out for self-publishing. Some people, you know, in this industry, you'll find, especially if you're on a public site like Facebook or Twitter and things like that, you'll start to get questions from upcoming authors asking you, how do I do this and how do I do that? And a lot of them sometimes do want you to hold their hand instead of them doing a little research. So if someone were to ask you today, hey, Jay West, I'm thinking about publishing my novel. What do you think I should do? What advice would you give them as a published author?
Well, I would definitely say learn the business, because I felt like in my initial contract I was taken advantage of. I didn't know anything, and like you said, most authors want you to hold their hand. I allowed the first publishing company to hold my hand, and I trusted them. I believed in them. They had a good track record, and it was an awful experience. So I'm saying learn the business. Even if you decide not to to publish your book independently, learn the business and know what they should be doing for you. Know what the guidelines are. Know what the time frames, you know, understand the business. I mean, and that's
right,
anything
right.
that you do. Learn the business. And then if you decide to go with that publisher, then go forth with your eyes wide open and know, again, what they should be doing for you for the money that you're paying out. Because when your money is involved, you're involved.
Correct. You're absolutely right. So what other methods do you do as a published author to actually promote yourself? Because a lot of people think, and I ask mostly everybody I speak to the same question, and when I do get to Derek, you know that some of my questions I duplicate because we like to hear it from different authors' point of view. A lot of people out there have this idea of what it will be to become published. They think that, okay, once I'm published, bam, I'm rich. I'm not rich, you know. It doesn't work like that, you know. People think, okay, you have 5 books. I know you pay. I do all right, but I'm not rich. What do you tell our listeners out there? What does it take for you, for yourself, to promotions to promote your 2 books?
Well, definitely, you have to let people know that the books are available, and self promotion is the best promotion. So you got to get out in the streets. I mean, I talk to them in the grocery store, the nail salon, the beauty salon. I mean, in traffic. I mean, I'm talking to women everywhere. I'm passing out my flyers. I'm giving them my website information. I'm passing out my business cards. I need to let people know this product is available. This is what it's about. This will help you because of this. You will benefit because of this. People need to know that whatever they're reading is going to be beneficial for them. And I know that my story is not the exception. It's definitely the rule, I believe. I truly believe that it is. Most women, if not all women, will be eventually cheated on or subsequently become a cheater. That's just the reality. I didn't make it up. It's part of life. I've talked to hundreds of people, hundreds of women who mirror my own situation. So I'm,
right.
I, you know, I'm not exempt to it. So I'm just saying, let people know that the item is available, what it's about, and how they'll benefit from purchasing your particular book.
Okay. So is there anything else in the works now? Are you currently writing anything new? Will this, I see that you write self-help books. Do you have any other genres going on? Would you like to write for any other genre? Like if you, like are you into sci-fi, suspense, or something like that? Are you working on something else besides self-help books?
No, I'm not writing on anything different, Anna. I'm currently writing a book in reference to the relationship, the adult, the parent to adult child relationship and how that changes once the child reaches adulthood, and the difficulties of making that transition. That's what I'm currently writing about. But it's still, again, a self-help book. It's all geared around relationships. Life and experience is the best teacher, and everybody will experience that. So I just like to focus on things that people can really relate to and really understand and give a no-holds-barred, upfront and personal account of these situations because I know they can understand and can relate to it. So that's my preference. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I do have a couple more questions before we move on to our second hour. Definitely before you go, I will be getting your contact information in a moment. But before that, I want to know, do you have any upcoming dates or any upcoming events that you want to share? Like where will you be in the near future if you want to let people know?
Unfortunately, Anna, I don't have any scheduled dates. I am in talks with some people to do some speaking engagements, but I haven't solidified anything, so I wouldn't want to put it out prior to it being actually confirmed and everything, you know, ready. So, no dates speaking engagements currently. But it will be on my website, and that will be on the information that I give you, MissJWest.com, and they can look at that and they can see where I'll be in the next coming months.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and this is just personal. I always ask that one personal question about my guests while they are. When you do find yourself having time to sit down and read, what do you enjoy reading?
That's a good question. Now you put me on the spot.
Who would be one of like your favorite authors? We want to, because writers have to start reading first. I don't care what nobody say. You cannot be a writer if you're not a reader. So when you're not writing and you have a chance to sit down and read a book, What is your flavor? What do you like? Who would be one of your favorite authors?
Does it have to be a book, or can it be just a magazine?
Magazine, whatever you like to read. Whatever floats J. West's boat when she decides to read.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I haven't started reading yet, but I plan to start reading. But I read like Essence magazine, Zip magazine. I just read magazines right now because I'm still in school. I'm in the master's program right now, so I have to focus on my the book that I'm writing, and then I'm in school, so I haven't been reading.
Okay, that's fine because
but
a lot of people.
I'm definitely gonna read your book. I'm gonna read your books. I gotta get your information as well.
Yay! Oh, I'm definitely going to get your books. Mostly all of my guests. My Kindle is so freaking full of so many books because I do book reviews also for AA and BC. And I can tell you, I hardly ever get to read for pleasure. And when I'm working on a novel myself, when I'm writing, I'm not reading at all. So when I'm not doing review books, or sometimes between my review books, I do sneak in a personal book here and there. So and a black review may pop up every now and again. But I read all the time. I can't get away from books. I mean, I'm surrounded by books every day.
Oh, wow.
So I guess if I was in school or something, I wouldn't be able to do that. But definitely get my books. I definitely will be downloading yours. And with the show, we do promote. So we also have a website for AA and BC. If you want your book to be reviewed by AA and BC, you can contact Tamika Newhouse at TamikaNewhouse@gmail.com, and she'll give you some information on where to send your books in so we can actually read and review and rate your book. And we do post our readings and ratings on all the outlets. So that's something you might want to consider too.
Okay.
But lastly, we just need to get your contact information. I'm going to move on to my second hour and talk with Mr. Derek Jordan about his book. So where can our listeners contact you at? Give us your email, your website, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Okay. My email is missjwest.com. No, sorry. missjwest@gmail.com. That's my email. My website is missjwest.com. You can follow me on Twitter at authorjwest.com. And my Facebook fan page is Jay West.
Oh,
so that's my four points of contact.
All righty, Ms. Jay West, we do appreciate you hanging out with us tonight and coming on and telling us about your book, The Cheating Guy and Be That Bitch. Those are some catchy titles, you guys. They are available on Amazon, so if you have them Kindles, pull them out and go ahead and download the book now. They are available on Kindle, and make sure I tell everybody, if you read a good book and you love it, definitely share it, rate it, review it, and also tell a friend. And we wish you all the success in the world, Ms. J. West, and you always welcome back. We have repeat guests all the time, so if you have something new to come out, drop us an email. We'll gladly have you back on the show.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you so much. Or if you want to drop off, you can. It's totally up to you. But we're going to go ahead and move on to our second hour. You have a great night.
Okay, you too, but I'm going to listen in.
All righty. Well, Mr. Derek Jordan, thank you so much for your patience and staying online with us while we talk to Ms. J. West. We want to get into your book, A Small World, in just a moment. But before we start talking about your book, just give us a little background on you, Mr. Jordan, where you're from, you married, got kids. Let us get to know Derek Jordan before the writer.
Hi. Well, my name is Derek Jordan. I'm from Waterbury, Connecticut, born and raised. I have a fiance, and I have a little girl who's going to be 3, going on 25 in July. I went to Western Connecticut State University, got a degree in criminal justice, and that's when I started my writing career as a poet.
Oh, okay. Well, before we move on really quick, I'm going to open up area code 912. I just want to make sure that you're listening, or do you have a question for Ms. J. West while she's still on the line? And also, if you have any questions for Mr. Jordan before the short ends, I just want to make sure you're listening in and you don't have any immediate questions. I don't want to forget about you. Area code 912. Okay, area code 912 must be just listening in. Okay. And you said you began writing poetry. So is your book A Small World, is it a poetry book or is it a novel?
No, it's a novel, but A Small World originated from a poem that I wrote. The poem was it was called Running at first, and it's centered around a fugitive that was, being a fugitive from justice, the law, and himself. But I just switched the character to a first-time parolee and just reverted that entire poem to a book. That's how A Small World was formed, just from a single poem.
Okay, so when did you actually start writing, Derek? Was it early in age or as an adult? When did you actually, realize that you had a knack for writing?
Yeah, when I was in my third year in college, I was still writing poetry and everything. We had an assignment to do for this acting class, and the assignment was for us to write a short story. And I wrote the short story maybe about within 2 hours, and I handed the assignment in, and the teacher couldn't believe I wrote it. I mean, he was fascinated by it, so that gave me a little itch right there. And I'm already an avid reader as it is, so it kind of gave me a lot of motivation to, write what I'm writing today.
Okay. So when you actually sat down to say, okay, I want to go ahead and complete this novel, write this novel, What was your goal for publishing? Because I know some people, especially like myself, when I first wrote my first couple novels, I was just writing. I didn't publish anything. I just sat on my work for a while. So when you decide to write A Small World, what was your goal at the time? Were you thinking that you were going to publish, or you were just writing because you wanted to get the story out? What was your goal originally when you sat down to write this novel?
Well, it was a combination of both. My main goal was to try to find, a publishing house that will take my work and everything. And so as I started doing more research, I started getting to, print-on-demand companies. And I tried one of those, and it didn't work out. And just what Jay West was saying, it's just good to do your own research before you jump into any kind of situation. So, it was a rough road at first. I was talking to a writer named Treasure Blue, and he basically turned my whole direction around, and I started, doing things for myself, started becoming, self-reliant in the whole process.
Okay. So you decided to, when you did decide to publish your book, you decided to just take the self-publishing route.
Exactly. I was doing a print-on-demand first. I didn't think about putting my own book out using my own ISBN number. I didn't think about any of that. Everything was all print on demand because, I like the packages. The packages were very attractive. And I'm a busy guy. I'm always working. I'm never home. And, I felt that the packages suit me just fine because there was a lot of things that I couldn't do on my own. But now it's all about being self-reliant. Organizing a team, a mastermind. I know my strengths and my weaknesses and everything like that. And one of my weaknesses is marketing. And I'm learning about marketing and everything. But I have my cousin, doing everything for me and everything. But I'm learning as we go along.
Okay. So take us in between the pages of A Small World. Give us a sneak peek inside of this book and tell us what this book is about, your main character, and what's actually going on with this story.
Okay, well, the main character, his name is Claude Porter. He basically did 10 years for shooting somebody and everything. And, while he's in prison, he has a lot of ambition. He wants to better his life once he sets foot on the outside world. But, in 10 years, society changes every day, but prison stays the same. So he has all these expectations on being discharged about, living a better life, living that American dream. But when he gets out of prison, he realizes that it's a lot easier said than done because he already has a strike against him, which is being a felon. And, and basically he's trying his best to be a law-abiding citizen, but the environment that put him there in the first place is basically sucking them back into that former lifestyle. And I guess whatever happens from there, you need to buy the book.
I understand that. I understand that. It's like, okay, I can only give you a little snippet. I can't give you everything.
Right.
With this story, like you said, it kind of evolved from a poem that you, when you said, when I don't write poetry, so I'm trying to get out of that transition. Like, what was the poem actually about to actually trigger a whole novel? Do you have your poem? Would you want to recite the poem? Because I want to know how a poem evolved into a full novel. I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
Well, it's the same thing. Like a single idea turned into a skyscraper in New York. You know, it's all about, you know, your perception. You know, I figured that, you know, I could turn a fugitive into a first-time parolee. I mean, I don't have that poem to recite at this time. I mean, I would have to go in my closet and dig it out. But
I'm just nosy.
I don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it.
I'm just being nosy. I want the inside track. It's like, I got you on my show. I can ask, so I'm going to ask.
Ask whatever you want to ask. But, it was just an idea. I said, you know what? I don't really know any fugitives, but I do know a lot of parolees. And I just revolved my story around the parolee. All I did was just change Claude Porter's role from being a fugitive to being a first-time parolee. And that's how Small World came about. It was just a simple idea. I watered that idea. The idea is just like a seed. You know, I watered the seed and it just expanded into 364 pages.
Yeah, that's a pretty long book. That's not a short book. Anytime you get over 302, I think you got a long book. So
yeah.
that's a long book. I'll tell you, it's so funny because my publisher be like, can keep this under 300 pages? I'm like, wait a minute, I got a little bit more to talk about. I can't keep it under 300 pages. So I know there has to be a real full-length novel.
Right.
So how much research did you actually have to do to actually get this book going? Because I don't know much about the law, and I'm pretty sure if I sat down and wrote something about our criminal-based story or something like that, I would have to sit down and do some research to actually get, I guess, make everything fall into place or hit the mark. How much actual research did you have to do to actually get this novel completed?
I would probably say about maybe a few years worth of research, because I'm always browsing, reading certain things that relate to my topic and everything, and I just implement that in the book. You know, I'm always browsing, and just what Jay was saying, you know, you talk to people, just like you're in a grocery store. You know, I get firsthand knowledge, and I get knowledge that's already there for me. I mean, the internet is very resourceful. You know, you can get your information from the resources that we all have. You know, whatever. Just like Los Angeles. I mean, I got like Los Angeles scenery in my book. I use a video game for that, True Crime.
A video game.
you gotta be very, 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 you know, it's whatever you need to use, that's what you use, whatever works. You know, I read about Los Angeles, people that live out there in that video game. I can tell you how to get to Crenshaw from, like, Santa Monica Boulevard, just from
playing. Oh, my God. That's wild. That's wild. That's the first time I've ever heard that. That is wild.
Yeah, you know, you do what you have to do. You know, I've been to a lot of states, you know, Dallas, New York, but, you know, just research on certain things, man, just research basic things about a certain state or whatever and just use it to your advantage.
So tell me this, and I'm going to ask the same question I asked Ms. J. West earlier.
Okay.
I don't want to hit the good and the bad, you know, because I'm checking out your reviews online. They're all good, but by me being an author myself, I know people inbox me feedback as well. So a lot of times I get stuff to my email that's not posted on the website, I mean, or on Amazon and things like that. Since your book has released, what type of feedback have you been getting on both ends? Don't be ashamed to tell both, because I can tell you some bad things that people have said about my book too. So with the good and the bad, what type of feedback have you been getting about your book?
Well, for the most part, I've been getting great 5-star reviews so far, but I only have 4 of them. And you know, everybody reads from a different perception. You know, it's just like your book, Anna Black. You know, I can read your book and think that your book is hot as dust, but somebody else could read it and think something totally different. But the people that didn't post the review, the people told me that my book was hot as hell, but it was just so many characters in the book. And at times they felt that it was, you know, kind of hard to keep up with all the characters. But that was the only, you know, bad feedback that I really received. And I didn't really think the feedback was bad. It was just the fact that there's a lot of characters in the book. So that was the only bad thing that I got so far. And
I can tell you, just through experiencing a couple of workshops I have attended, when I first started taking my writing seriously, I was always told from a few seasoned authors to try to keep a book with 6 characters or less. Don't one thing about readers, especially if it's more than one storyline, I've learned that when somebody falls in love with a storyline and it takes them too long to get back to the storyline, they find themselves skipping pages in your book to get back to who they really want to read about. I learned over the years to try to keep 6 characters or less going on in the book, so people won't be, like you say, thinking like it's too many characters, too much going on. And that was just, by a couple of workshops I attended.
Right.
But it's a learning experience. You know, it's like we all have to have our first, and we all have to learn from feedback. Because trust me, readers are not nice sometimes. Speak the hell out of your book, and you were like, okay, I got you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, a lot of readers dissect a little bit too much, so just be prepared. It comes. So what are you working on now? What's next for you? I know you just recently released this novel. Are you currently writing something new? Do you have anything coming out this year? Or how do you, like, some people have, go to put out a book a year. What is your, how's your agenda? How are you scheduled to release your books, and what are you working on now?
Well, being that A Small World was a very lengthy book, I learned a lot from writing that book. You know, an author friend of mine from out in California, Shakira Cannon, you know, she wrote This Can't Be Life. You know, she taught me a lot, you know, how to get writing and everything like that, so that way, you know, you won't fall too far away from the storyline about how to avoid, you know, implementing filler in your work, so that way you can just keep the storyline as smooth as possible. But my next project is Next of Kin, and that book is not going to be, like, long, like A Small World, but that's my next project, and I do plan on coming out with maybe a book a year, and the sequel to A Small World will be out in 2013.
On what day?
2013.
Yep. That was going to be my next question also, because I didn't get a chance to ask Jay West. I know I asked her about her next book and what she changed up her genres. That same question also applies to you, because I'm considered that your book maybe is considered street lit. Do you have any other genres that you're interested in writing or like to dabble in? And also I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about series? Some people are not sequel writers. As an author, what do you feel about series? And are you like, yay, or you think people should just leave it alone?
To each your own. You know, I like series, like Eric Jerome Dickey, you know, with the hitman guy Gideon. I mean, it all depends on the author. But as far as me, my book is a street lit book, but I do plan on, you know, jumping into different genres, because, you know, you don't want to just write about what you know, because if you write about what you know, it's going to make you
same writer. All your writing is going to be, it's going to be the same. But just like hip hop, you know, like people from the 90s still under the gangster thing or whatever, but, you know, times have changed. Jay-Z is very versatile, and I plan on being that with my book. I do read from different genres, you know, just to get ideas and so forth, but I do plan on getting into a horror genre, in erotica, you know, things of that nature. Not everything has to be all street lit and everything, but I do plan on, you know, spreading, you know, my knowledge to different genres. I want to basically, I just want to write about what interests me as opposed to writing about what I know.
Did you say horror?
Horror, yes. I love horror.
I need you to elaborate on that. So do you get into reading horror stories? Like, are you into Stephen King and things like that? Do you read those type of books?
Not really, but I watch those type of movies.
Okay.
But I am going to start reading about Stephen King and Dean Koontz. You know, just something brand new that I'm going to get into. But like I said, I never really read a horror book. I mean, I probably read one in high school, but it wasn't Stephen King. It was something that we had to, I think it was called Where Are the Children or something like that. It wasn't so much, it wasn't really a horror. It was like more suspenseful and everything, but... I do plan on writing a horror novel, but I don't know what year that would take place. I have no information about that right now.
Right, you're just not keeping yourself in a box. That is totally,
right.
Totally understandable.
Right.
So do you have any upcoming events or any places that you will be in the near future that you want to share with our listeners? And also, we need to go ahead and get your contact information, email address and things like that on how readers can get in contact with you about getting the book and things like that, or to follow you where you're going, because I understand that a lot of times when you are new out there, you have a newly released book, people don't have a big agenda or schedule set out yet, but where we can go in the future to keep looking out for you.
I was thinking about going to the Harlem Book Fair, but as far as getting a table, that's still up in the air. But, you know, right now I don't have any books that are out on print. The only books that are out on print are the books from Dog Ear Publishing, and those books are non-existent now. You know, they're not in print no more. I'm doing everything.
Oh, you're just on, your book is just on an e-reader.
It's just, yep, exactly. It's just on the e-reader for right now. So, I got to get the new physical copy, you know, retypeset it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the contact information, you're going to have to go by my email, because my email is going to bring you directly to my Facebook site.
Okay.
And that's, right. And that's djordan77@comcast.net.
Okay.
And you can follow me at Twitter at novelist42877. That's my Twitter handle.
Wow. Well, we sure wish you well, Mr. Jordan. A Small World. Now, I'm not honestly big on street lit, but I have read some street lit books that I have reviewed and kind of changed my perspective on street literature, because I believe I read, the first street lit book I read was by Michael McGrew, My Kind of Girl, and I was thinking like, I'm not going to like this book, but I actually love that book. Then I read another book called Cheetah by Miss Missy Jackson, and that was another hit for me. So, and I started dabbling a little Wahida Clark, so I would definitely be giving your book the opportunity as well, and I do post reviews, so out of blue, like I say, you probably see a review, because I can't tell you when I'll get to it, but I'm definitely going to give it a try. But in the future, when you have something new to come out, even if your book, when your book release on paperback, still always keep in contact with me, shoot me an email, or if it's something else you want me to mention on the show, because I do the show every Tuesday and Thursday, just always send me an email out. So I can make sure I mention some points on something that you might be doing, like if you decide to go to the Harlem Book Fair
you just, you know, shoot me an email, Anna, make sure you announce that I'm going to be at the Harlem Book Fair. So the lines of promotions always open, not just to you, but also to Ms. J. West. I'm going to open J. West's line back up, and I'm going to give area code 912 another opportunity if you have a question before we close out. 912, you're live. Can you state your name and where you're calling from? And are you listening in, or do you have a question?
Hi, Anna. I'm a listener. This is R. Jenkins Oliver, and I'd like to give you also my condolence to you and your family.
Thank you so much, and thank you for always listening in. You are definitely one of the repeat guests on here, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you guys, if the show is about to come to an end within, like, the next 3 minutes, I do want to say thank you to Ms. J. West. J. West, your mic is open. Do you have any closing words? Uh-oh. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not. I'm looking at the blue and not red. I'm sorry. Ms. J. West, you're on now. You're live. I hit the wrong button. My bad.
Okay,
do you have any closing words?
I want to thank you again, Anna, for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. And just contact me on my, follow me on Twitter, Author J. West, and my fan page on Facebook, J. West fan page, my email, MsJWest@gmail.com, and my website, MsJWest.com as well. And Derek, wishing you much success with your book.
You too, definitely. I will support you also because your book sounds very interesting.
Thank you so much, and I will support you as well.
Appreciate that.
All right, and Mr. Jordan, do you have any parting words so we can close out the show?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about your family and everything. I'd like to express my condolences and also happy birthday to your daughter who just turned 14. You said right.
Yes.
Yes. And,
thank y'all so much.
And also, yes, I also have a fan page. So I'm just going to look up Brad City Publishing, and it's going to have a picture of my book. Just like it and everything. Just give me some support out there. But I do have a fan page. So as soon as you frame me on Facebook, I will guide you from there. And that's really it. That's my closing words.
Alrighty. Well, thank y'all so much for hanging out with us. We always remember you guys are welcome to come back at any time. I would love to have you back on the show whenever you have something new. And if you do know any author friends on Facebook or Twitter and things like that who's not aware of the show, please let them know. We do support all African-American authors that promote great things, of course. We don't support any hate or crime or things like that. But also tell your friends, and the show will be on AANBCRadio.com archived, so you can go back later and actually get the link to the show. If you want to post it on your website or share it on Facebook, that will be available to you. I want to wish everybody a great night and much success to my guests tonight. Thank y'all for coming on. We will see you guys back here next Tuesday, I believe Tuesday the 17th. And we'll be joined by two newcomers again to share their work. So everybody have a blessed night. Thank you guys for listening in, and I will see you guys back here next Tuesday.